Podtacular, episode 432, RTX 2014, for July 10th, 2014. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm. And this week I have some lovely RTX attendees who were there with me this weekend at RTX in Austin, Texas. And first up is Goose Checka from Griffball Hub.
Oh, hi.
Hello. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good, good. I think the last time you were on was to talk about your Kickstarter, if I believe correctly.
I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. So welcome back. How did the Kickstarter go, by the way?
Amazing. I'm sure it was 100% due to the Podtacular bump, but we raised almost $10,000, and while we were at RTX, we ended up having a 400-square-foot booth, complete with 16 games cases, consoles, copies of Halo 4, and it was kind of all sorts of awesome.
Very nice. Very excited to hear that. It went very, very well. Next up on the docket is Justin Bryce from Drunken Halo Podcast. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. It's good to be here.
It's nice to have you here, and I have to give you a huge shout-out for being on my podcasting panel, which I greatly appreciate.
The shout-out should be all directed in your direction, sir. Thank you for having me. I had a blast. I almost dropped an F-bomb, but I caught myself.
It's all right. We got the bleep machine over here. And last but not least is BioWolf.
How's it going?
It's going good. How was your weekend at RTX?
It was absolutely crazy and awesome and fun and everything that you can possibly imagine. Anything Halo and anything related to a convention, it was just awesome.
Nice. And this was actually your first convention of any sort.
Yeah. Yeah, it was my first one.
Me too.
How was that as an experience for you guys?
It was really good. I mean, I met a lot of people that I actually really wanted to meet, and I think that made the experience a little bit even more than what I thought it would be. So for my first convention, it was definitely probably the best that I'm going to have for an experience-wise.
Very nice. And you picked a very good one to go to for your first one. It's very community heavily focused, and there is a big Halo presence there. So for anyone that's wanting to get into any kind of convention, RTX is a pretty good start if you're able to get there. It's not as expensive and not as crazy to get into as PAX or San Diego Comic-Con or any of the other Comic-Cons. So definitely a good choice if you're looking to go to get your start on conventions. But let's talk about RTX, shall we? That's kind of what we're here to discuss. And there's been lots of things that have gone on in the past week, a lot of which we were excited on. So Goose, why don't you explain a little bit more about your Kickstarter and what you had at RTX because of your Kickstarter?
Well, 2 years ago, Bernie Burns asked if there would be I would be at RTX because of, you know, the whole Griffball thing, and I hadn't planned on it, but you know, when Bernie Burns asks you, you say yes. So that first year was it was the second year for RTX, the first year for Griffball Hub to be there, and we had a panel. And then last year we got the crazy idea to run a Kickstarter so that we could buy booth space, and that was successful. We raised about $4,400 and had a small 10x20 booth with, you know, a split screen, Griffball playing, 4 Xboxes, 4 TVs, and it was a very small setup, but we were very proud. And then we decided to do a bigger and better booth this year. And as I mentioned earlier, we were able to raise almost $10,000 to fund our booth at RTX. So what that included was, again, 400 square feet, so a 20x20 booth, twice the size that we had last year. And we were able to work with some, you know, specific companies like games to get game cases and Xboxes and copies of Halo 4. The Guardians help us retrieve copies of Halo Reach and Halo 3 so that we could play all 3 Griffballs during RTX. And we also had our Griffball panel, which was very exciting. And at the booth itself, we were able to sell t-shirts. So we were able to sell merch for the very first time ever. And we sold out of everything, which kind of mind-blowing. We were definitely not expecting that. But we sold out of t-shirts and we sold out of cinch bags. And then we had our free stuff like we always do, like the Halo 4 and Halo 5 box art and lanyards and stickers and buttons and all that kind of stuff. So that was really, really fun to get it out there. And then we also had the championship game of our pro tournament on the large Iron Gaming stage. So that was like a 40-foot tall, enormous screen. And we got to see Griffball, and it was streamed on the Iron Gaming channel. And it was just this really huge, epic event. It was the largest LAN Griffball event ever. It was the first Griffball event to really have a prize of any kind, because Razer was so kind to donate headsets to us, some performance gaming headsets, to the winning team. And the winning team also got the swag bag, which had the Griffball t-shirt and lanyard and buttons and box art and all the exclusive items that we were offering from the Kickstarter. And Kickstarter made that all happen. So our community is wonderful, and we can never say thank you enough to them.
That's pretty awesome. How's it like playing on the big stage and commentating with Golden Boy for not the first time? You've commentated with him before, but you're on this big stage presence, and it was live streamed for the finals. How was that experience for you?
Well, I didn't play, which is good, because nobody wants to see that.
But you did commentate.
Yeah, to commentate. It was really intimidating. And, you know, I asked Golden Boy if he would commentate with me. And he was originally going to go with Maven to, I don't know, do whatever pro casters do when they're not casting. And he's like, no, I'll make time. And he set aside about 45 minutes to commentate with me. And at one point, I felt like my stomach might fall out my butt. I was so nervous because, you know, not only was this in front of everybody, you know, at RTX, there were several hundred people, you know, milling around. There were people in the crowd. There were people watching. You know, there are critics everywhere. You know, I have Griffballers who are going to be critiquing my Griffball play-by-play. There are just general attendees who, you know, need to know what's happening. And then the fact that I'm sitting next to a professional caster, even though he's a total sweetheart, and Golden Boy really is just the sweetest guy. But then once it started up, like, I don't know, muscle memory kicked in or something, and it was just go time. So it was a lot of fun. It was a little bit intimidating because the setup that they had was that there were three screens in front of us. One in the middle was the main screen, and that's what the audience saw. And then we each had our own screens in front of us, and those one screens were broken down into eight smaller screens. And those eight smaller screens had the point of view of each of the players and their gamer tags on it. So you could see who was running, who was tanking, and there was just like so much data input that it was really, really tough to kind of stick with everything. And I ended up just kind of watching the main screen just because that's what I'm used to when I cast. But, oh my gosh, it was possibly the highlight of my life, but I think my husband might get upset if I said that. So I'm just going to say it has been one of the highlights of my life.
Very nice. It was really cool to see you guys up there, and I was actually able to grab a pretty good reaction pic of you guys. And if you guys are on the live stream right now, the bottom right picture is Goose and Golden Boy reacting to probably one of the sickest moves that Griffball has seen on a live stream setup, or even a stage setup for that matter. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because that was a pretty epic moment.
Right. It was Easy as Pie versus Green Army Jr., and Easy as Pie is a multi-championship winning team. Green Army Jr. has never won a ship, but considering it's on land, a lot changes. And so Green Army Jr. definitely deserved to be there. But when that particular move went down, I guess I'll back up a little bit. In League Griffball, we play 9 rounds, and we play all the rounds. It doesn't matter who gets to 5 first. We play them all. So what we did is, at that point, Green Army Jr. had already lost, and Green Army Jr. is known for their high-flying tactics. You know, they prefer to have boots off the ground as frequently as possible. So they went for a move, and what was captured in that still brilliantly by Dusty is a move they have called the North Korea. And I'm still not sure I even understand it completely, because it really
I'm not sure I do either.
A spectacular move, but from what I understand, I've seen the replay a couple times, and from what I understand, a player gets launched into the air by a teammate's hammer. Mid-launch, they pass the ball back to the person who launched them. That person is then launched overhead and with the intent of passing the ball back to the first person who was launched. I apologize to Green Army Jr. if I just totally slaughtered your North Korea, but that's the kind of stuff that they do. I mean, Easy as Pie is a fantastic team. They've won the championship. They've won many championships. They are just a very clean, strong, classic team, whereas Green Army Jr. is all about the lulls. They love to put on a good show, win or lose. They love to entertain. So it was a really, really good mix that that we were able to put on for the crowd.
Very nice. And I'm assuming you guys will be talking about that tonight on the Hubcast, right? In a little more detail?
Probably not so much, because we did have the we had a impromptu Hubcast on, I believe it was Monday night. I think you had just left, Dusty.
And okay.
So that way, because we also have, there's some people on the Hubcast who weren't at RTX. So then rather than spend an hour talking about all the awesome stuff that they missed, we have a podcast that you can go back and listen to, and it breaks everything we did down into smaller, more bite-sized niblets.
Got it. Very nice. I'll have to check that out and make sure you guys check that out too, because there was lots of good Griffball stuff over the weekend.
Yes.
And the tournament was definitely one of them. Their booth was a pretty big thing, and you were front and center right as people came in.
Yes, that was definitely unexpected. The doors where the attendees entered, I mean, we were the first thing that they saw. Like, it was kind of intimidating, but a very, very good placement. And I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't, so I won't try to.
Fair enough. All right. So that's kind of the Griffball highlight. I wanted to just give Goose a moment to talk about that, because we are very good friends with them, and they have a presence at RTX, and they are building a presence at RTX, and I'm expecting that they're going to get bigger and bigger every year. So make sure you guys check them out. And I just want to kind of move on to some general RTX stuff. So let's cover Friday. I personally didn't do much on Friday other than kind of walk the floor. And I went to the Glipshark panel, I believe it was on Friday. So I went to that one. But other than that, I just kind of checked out the show floor, went around to the Halo booth, the Certain Affinity booth, where they were showing off Age of Booty, which is a new iOS game that they have out. And then they have the Titanfall booth and, of course, the Griffball Hub booth. What did you guys check out on your first day of RTX?
I did pretty much the same thing. I went to the Play a Pro challenge. I waited in line for that, and I got completely slaughtered. It was, I did that. I went to the Titanfall booth, play a little bit of Titanfall, and ran into a couple of friends that Duquesne knew, and we talked with them for about like 30 minutes or so, but it was pretty simple day for that. I didn't really do too much.
Yeah, I guess my first thing was going to the 343 panel.
That was Saturday.
You got there for Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't there on Friday.
Correct. Yeah. I got in Friday evening, and we spent, you and I, Dusty, spent quite a bit of time going over the podcast panel stuff.
Yeah. It was something down to kind of last minute stuff, similarly to last year of me putting the slides together.
Oh, see, so I was feeling bad, because I figured that you had all your slides and stuff done way ahead of time last year.
No. We had discussions done. We had Skype calls previously. Lindsay wasn't as busy as she was this time, apparently. But I did the slides last year the day before the panel.
Okay. So I don't feel so bad.
No, it was not your fault whatsoever. It was totally my unpreparedness and procrastination that got the better of me for that.
Yeah, see, I figured my procrastination was rubbing off on you, but I feel better knowing that you're a broken human like myself and will wait till the last minute. So, but yeah, was my, you know, like I said earlier, I've never been to something like this before. So my first, you know, first thing I did at RTX was the first thing I've done at any, expo, whatever. And that's go to the 343 panel, and then half an hour after that ended is when our podcast panel started.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. Saturday was definitely a busy day for most of us, I think.
Well, I know for me, my Friday, I think, was probably very different from probably most people's. Sorry, Ellie is like sticking her nose in my ear. Thank you. Ellie's my dog. Please don't be alarmed.
Just reminding that she's there.
Yes. So yeah, my Friday was incredibly hectic. We got to the convention center at about 8 a.m. to finish setup. And we were promised 16 games cases, 16 Xboxes, 16 controllers, and 16 copies of Halo 4 by an entity of which, out of respect, I will not name. and they did not fulfill their promise. They had 14 games cases, and I'm sorry, they had 16 games cases, one of which didn't work, 14 Xboxes, 8 controllers, and 8 copies of Halo 4. So most of Wednesday and all of Friday morning was spent securing the other items that we needed. So going around and basically begging other booths to let us borrow their stuff. So we borrowed stuff from the 343 booth. We borrowed stuff from the controller shop booth. We borrowed stuff from the games booth. The Guardians really came through for us, and that they actually would drive home and go and get their copies of Halo 4. There was one Guardian, Plaid Lad, who just went out and bought us 6 copies of Halo 4 and just donated them to the Griffball Hub cause. So that was my Friday morning. And then all of that before the doors opened. And so again, we're just trying to make sure the booth is secure. There was a really bizarre thing, and I think, Dusty, you might find this interesting. We had a NAT connection issue with 2 of the Xboxes that are on LAN.
On LAN?
Yeah. Didn't know you could have NAT issues while on LAN, but apparently you can because we did it.
Huh. That's very strange.
So it was just a quirky kind of day, and then at noon, the doors opened and the attendees came streaming in, and we started running people through Halo 4 Griffball, and then only a half an hour after the doors opened, I actually had to leave the booth, which I was very uncomfortable with, but I had to leave because I had my Pong to Peggle, the Evolution of Video Games and Psychology panel, and I had to go deliver that. So then by the time I got back, it was about 2 o'clock, and then we just kind of finished out the day with, you know, selling merch and running people through the Halo 4 Griffball playlist. And I didn't really get to look much at what was around. I mean, our neighbors were the 405th, so that was really awesome being next to them. We were also next to the Mech Assault guys, where I think it was like $10 and you got in the pod, and it was like if you were in Titanfall, if you were actually in the mech, like this virtual reality pod, that was kind of weird. And then there was a really, really cute t-shirt store right next to us where I wanted to spend all my money.
Just for those that don't know, the 405th is basically the cosplayers that do all the Halo costumes and the Spartan outfits that you see just about at any convention. So for anyone that doesn't know who they are, they're really cool guys. We're good friends with them. Adam Grumbo, I believe, has been on the podcast in the past. He's with that crew. They're really cool guys. So yes. If you have a chance to check them out, I believe they're the 405thsource.com. I'll have to double check on that. But you can just Google search their stuff, and it's simply amazing, some of the stuff that they have out there. They actually had one of their members pass away over the last year, and they had these stickers going around to stick on one of these armor pieces that this guy had made. I'm trying to pull up who he is. I'm trying to find it. Oh, Ash Turner. So he was a big prop maker and costume designer for the 405th, and he suddenly passed away, I guess, over the duration of last year. But his armor was there, and there was a booth there by Captured Dimensions that did 3D scans of stuff, and they actually, on the last day, did a 3D scan of someone wearing his armor and an energy sword, and they're going to they have the 3D model, 343 has the 3D model of it, and they're going to I think make something out of that to give back to the 405th. Oh, so that was really, really cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
they took that scan on the last day.
Yeah, on Sunday, I believe.
And it was straight up like Master Chief armor. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I think I saw that guy leaving.
Quite possibly, yeah.
I saw him cross the street, and he did it like he wasn't wearing any armor. It was just kind of funny.
Yeah, the 405th, they do some incredible work. I've seen a lot of 405th people there.
Yeah, RTX is a big one. San Diego Comic-Con, and you'll see a few of them at PAX, but most of the Comic-Cons, you'll see them there.
Right.
Yeah, I was telling someone, I don't remember who, it might have even been you, Dusty, but that whenever I went up to, what are they, 405th? I keep wanting to say the 501st, which is the Star Wars Stormtrooper guys.
They were there at RTX, but yeah, it's the 405th.
Oh, yeah, they were too. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, the 405th is the Halo group.
I went up to their booth and just kind of asked if they were selling any of this stuff, and they had said that they sold out on the first day of all the pieces that they brought to sell. And I've never been so relieved and so disappointed all at the same time. Because I would have paid without looking at the price, quite honestly. Because their stuff was that high, like it looked that good.
I feel you on that one, because as we were closing up on the last day, I went over there and I was like, so how much does it take for me to get a Griff armor? You know, like classic Halo 3 style Griff. And they all just kind of look at me, not sure if serious or joking. And I apparently am getting Griff armor. And again, I don't know how much it costs either.
So you were serious though.
I guess I was. they took my measurements right there in front of the entire convention and everything. And it was very personal. And I feel much closer to the 405th than I ever have before.
Oh, you're probably going to pay for that. It's probably going to be on the bill.
Probably. But no, they're just amazing people. I sat down and talked with the girl who was playing Cortana. Her handle is Heavenly Fighter. And it was just so cool to hang out with her, because she has such an awesome cosplay. She's the perfect Cortana. And then one day she came over without her makeup on, and I didn't know who she was, except that there was some blue paint right along her hairline. I'm like, oh, okay.
Didn't quite get it all off.
Not quite, but I can't even imagine how long that takes to put on.
Oh, I'm sure it takes a while just to get it all set up.
They were doing a giveaway for a Master Chief helmet, weren't they, at their booth?
I believe they were.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
I wonder who won that.
Was it me?
I honestly have no idea.
Well, one other cool thing that the 405th was doing is that they had scheduled demonstration times, which I thought was really cool, because they were there last RTX, but they were just selling shirts, and they had some of their cosplay, and they were, you know, walking around talking shop. But, you know, you could see them cutting up the foam and crafting it and shaping it. And that was really, really cool from what I hear, because I actually didn't get to watch it, but I could kind of see, I could kind of peek over from our booth to their booth when they were doing that. And that was, I mean, like watching them in action and just how much talent and skill and care goes into it is really amazing.
Definitely. There was also, like, you could take your cosplay stuff there, and they would actually fix it up for you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had a little sign up as, we'll fix your clothing and sew up and patch stuff. So they were doing that as well during the whole convention.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did anyone else see the Grunt cosplay?
The kid who was dressed up as the Grunt?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
That was freaking adorable.
How old was this kid?
He looked like he was 7, 8, 9.
Okay, so a true kid, wasn't like some 15-year-old. Yeah. Okay.
No.
He was short. Like
of kid age.
Yes.
So that was really cool to see. And all the cosplay stuff that's there. Halo Collector in here is actually mentioned that Dragon Con's big for the 405th, which is very true. I believe that's where they had the Didact shown off last year. Someone cosplayed as the Didact, and it was at Dragon Con, which is during PAX. So that's another big convention that they normally go to.
Yeah, that's something I would really, really want to see, is the Didact cosplay. That'd be really neat.
Yeah.
I'd probably just punch him in the face. That is my loathing for the Didact.
I would imagine very similar to how the Didact played out in Halo 4, not a whole lot of people would really know who he was.
Yeah, that's a good...
I don't know. I think people would realize that he was a character from Halo. Maybe not specifically who he was, but I think they would get the Halo reference.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to be an asshole, but.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, it wasn't just Halo cosplay. I mean, there was tons of Ruby cosplay and a lot of characters that I'm not even familiar with. And from being there for this being my third year, there was definitely a lot more cosplay presence this year than last year, and then last year, the year before that. So RTX is continuing to grow and develop and bring in this kind of community talent.
Yeah, and it's really awesome.
I didn't know what to expect on the cosplay side of things whenever I was heading up there or down there, whatever. And I was really surprised with how much of it there was.
Yeah, there was a lot of things in there that I didn't really expect. One of them was a giant creeper person. That was really, really cool. He was just walking into the Achievement Hunter panel. What's that?
Hey, now.
I said,
hey,
I think now. His name is Dusty, a giant creeper.
Oh.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're going to have to be more specific.
What I want to talk about creeping is that I saw a drunken Halo, but I was just sitting right behind him. And the only reason I knew it was you is because you were wearing the jersey that said drunken Halo. And I was like, hey.
Yeah, I saw you too. I don't remember who you were talking to. I think it actually might have been like right in front of the, not 501st, 405th, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about coming up and saying hi, but it seemed like a important conversation, and I didn't want to interrupt. But
were they taking my measurements?
No.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, if they were, they were being really subtle about it, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, there were lots of Halo cosplayers at the Halo panel as well.
Yeah, there was
like an entire row just dedicated to those guys.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people there last year, and then there's quite a few people this year. And if you're on the stream, there's someone in the Hayabusa armor with yellow, and then Max Overman is basically backstabbing her with a sword.
Yeah, that's did a Sean Bradley sword.
Did they keep their helmets on the whole time?
Oh,
most
no,
of the time.
Oh, I meant for the 343 panel. I don't know if anyone noticed.
Oh, no. They took them off.
No, they had it off.
Okay.
If they're walking around, they usually have them on, but if they're sitting in a panel or if they're at their booth just kind of relaxing, they'll have their helmets off.
I can imagine it gets hot in that suit.
Oh, I would imagine so.
I was asking around because apparently now that I'm getting Griff armor, I started asking really important questions like, what do you wear underneath it? How do you go to the bathroom? And how do you ship it? So I'm still waiting for the answer for number two, but they did answer number one and number three for me. So a lot of them use just like cooling Under Armour. So Under Armour that wicks away sweat and heat. And I mean, some of them just wear, you know, black long sleeve t-shirts. It really depends on the person.
And, what are you leaning towards?
Ooh, it's tough. I think it's going to depend on how much I actually end up paying for the Griff armor. Because otherwise, there might not be nothing underneath because I won't be able to afford anything. But a lot of the suits now are made of foam, and so they're pretty light, and they breathe actually better than you would expect. So, I mean, the ones that are made of, I don't even know all the materials, but the fiberglass ones and the heavier ones, you know, definitely I think would cook you, but especially in Austin. But yeah. I think some of them that are made of lighter stuff maybe aren't so bad.
It would seem to me, though, that they'd be like, far, far, far less durable, though.
The foam ones?
Yeah.
I was actually talking with Aaron. He's the one who is crafting my Griff set. And he said that, I mean, they seal it, so it's you know, pretty durable, pretty solid. But that typically they, or at least some of them do, they'll put a silver undercoat and then seal it and then put whatever color armor on top of it. So that way, even though it gets dinged and it gets scratched, the top coat goes, and then the undercoat is silver, so it looks like battle damage.
Huh. Oh, that's cool.
That is
pretty
cool.
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Although, have you guys seen the 405th Master Chief bull riding video?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes, that was freaking awesome.
Step one, go watch it. Step two, the 405th were saying that they ruined two full sets of armor when they were being thrown off the bull.
It doesn't surprise me. I was talking to Adam. He said after they went, well, actually I was talking to him before they went, he said that they were going to go bull riding. I'm like, okay. And then when I saw the video, it's like, wow, they were serious about doing that.
They did a great job. But then again, that's what the 405th does. It's a great job.
Oh, they're fantastic. They have wonderful resources on their site. They're just wonderful people to talk to. And I've been toying around with the idea of either doing the research to make mine if I could ever find the time, or having someone make one. So I may be pulling a goose and asking for one within a year or so.
Oh, it's called pulling
a goose. Yeah.
So the definition of that is you're not nearly talented or skilled enough to make something, so you just have someone do it for you? because that's totally what I did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit it, but that's kind of what buying a service is, right?
The four or fifth are so much more than a service.
No, they're not. They're definitely not only a service. They're such a wonderful group of people, and they're really cool to hang out with.
Yes.
So definitely check them out and follow them on Twitter, follow their YouTube stuff. And if you have a chance to go to a convention and see one of them, just talk to the guys. They're really cool to just chill. And they're just as passionate about Halo and will talk anything Halo as any other Halo fan out there. So that's a plus. But enough about the 405th for now. The Halo booth was actually pretty cool. For those that were there, you got to go through and experience the Master Chief Collection menu and get a sneak peek preview at the campaign. I know BioWolf and Justin, you got to see it. Goose, did you get to go through and see that?
No.
No?
I feel like such a bad Halo fan.
Well, you got the menu experience during the panel, and then the campaign stuff, most of it's already up on YouTube in some form or fashion.
Right. Yeah, me and Duquesne didn't actually get the chance to go and see it. Every time we went to go and see it, the line was just ridiculous. Like, every time we went there, we always at the back of the line. And when we went to that, we always had to go to a panel right afterwards. So we never really got the chance to see it. So we don't really know what we're missing out on.
Got it. I asked my way in.
Oh, you sneaky.
Yep. Well, hey, media badge, take every advantage that you
that
is gets you.
That badge, man. I still can't get over that badge. That was awesome.
Exhibitor, VIP, and media gets you quite a few things if you know who to ask.
It's true.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. There was the Play a Pro, which Duquesne actually was able to partake in. I don't think he did too well.
No, he did better than I did.
He got what? Two kills?
He got a kill.
A kill.
Yeah.
But comparatively, you're going up against a pro, so you're not expecting to do too well, but at least he got a kill. I don't think a lot of people could have said that over the weekend, but I know a few people watching there on Sunday were able to get 2 and 3 kills. And actually, someone that we know here and Goose is very familiar with, Forsaken Mango from Griffball Hub, won Sunday's challenges for the best score. And got an Xbox One, Astros, the poster, and a deal code for Halo 4, the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah, I was about to start bragging about my Griffball community and how they're representing. And as always, it's very funny to me that one of those Griffball kids won out all over everybody else. But I'm just a proud mama, that's all.
Aw, that's nice. Yeah. So that was going on during the weekend. They had a bunch of display cases showing off a lot of Halo collector stuff, some older stuff that you can't even find anymore, and they had some display of the new Mega Bloks that were coming out, some of the merchandise that they were selling there, which I completely splurged on. I think I spent about $250 at that store.
Yeah, you and I both.
Yeah, not all of it's for me. I did buy some for a few other friends, but I got all of the Master Chief Collection shirts, the 1, 2, 3, and 4. I got a hat. I got some plushies to give to friends. And I got the RTX Halo poster as well.
Yeah, I didn't get anything. That track jacket, though, oh, I wanted one so bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't justify it. I couldn't. Especially because, you know, other things were purchased and
right.
Those grunt plushies that they were selling, the lady at the desk, she goes, yeah, you may want to get one of these now while they're on sale, because once they go, people are selling them on eBay for like $200. And I was like, there's no way. So I went back to the hotel that night, looked it up, and sure enough, like, one guy was selling it for like $250. I was like, that's crazy. So apparently those grunt things are worth a lot of, well, they're very collectible, I guess.
Yeah, because they were limited edition. I know they were sold at Halo Fest.
Right, that was the first place they showed up.
Hmm. Okay.
And that was supposed to be the only place you could get them, but they didn't sell out,
right,
which was shocking, because it's a grunt plushie. It's so cute and cuddly.
they sold out at RTX. I think the first day, like, they sold out around, like, 3 o'clock, they were gone. Because I went back to get another one, and they didn't have any more, so...
After Halo Fest, the Grunt plushies became... That's when it really became the collector's item. That's when it became one of those hunt and find things. It wasn't during Halo Fest for some reason, but after the internet got a view of the Grunt plushies, that's when it started to explode everywhere, and that's when everyone started scouring the internet for them.
It's kind of like their art doesn't have any value until they die. So that's kind of what it was like with the Grunt plushie, that they apparently didn't have much value until you couldn't have them anymore.
Right.
The first time I seen one of them was actually on a Rooster Teeth video. On the back, how they had the floating stack of games, there's a little Grunt plushie in the back. And I was like, where can I get one of those? And I was looking. I couldn't find it anywhere.
And now you have one.
Yes, I do. He's chilling on my desk, just staring at me. So
nice. We're going to have some pictures up of everything that was in the display cases as well, because there were some cool figures and sets in there that I had no idea even existed. They had a skateboard, they had shoes, and some other weird little things that I had never even seen before. So we'll have pictures of those up pretty soon.
I know one of the things that was in there was a replica of a hunter. And from what the 343 person who was working the merch booth was telling me was that there was this little boy who really, really, really wanted the hunter statue, but because it wasn't for sale yet, she had to say no. And he was young enough that he just started crying, and she felt so bad. But I was like, well, I'll start crying if that's going to get me the statue. I have no
So they actually gave him the statue?
Trust me, that doesn't work.
Okay.
That statue, wasn't that the McFarlane Toys statue? If I can remember correctly?
I don't know. They said that it would be sold in, like, September. Or that it would be released, but it hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
Then I would say it's either McFarlane or there's another company that does it. Halo Collector is going to tell me in the chat, so I'll wait for him to do that. There was also the Mega Bloks booth. You were able to go and guess how many pieces composed of the Mantis or Freckles that was there at their display. And once you did that, you were able to pick up the con-exclusive Mega Bloks set, which is out for this year. It's a Cyan Spartan with a shotgun. So we actually have a few extra sets of those that will be given away here pretty soon. And you can only get them at conventions, so they're likely going to be at San Diego Comic-Con and maybe PAX this year. So we'll have a few of those to give away. And let's see what else. There was a certain Affinity booth, and they were showing off their latest iOS game, Age of Booty, and they had a big spinning wheel, and there were a few pretty clever options. Like one of them was Family Jewels, and they basically had the ring pops, if you guys remember what those were. They had one option that was swab the deck, so you get a deck of cards, and you got a Q-tip, and you were supposed to swab it in front of them, and then you basically got to keep the deck of cards, and lots of little cool things like that.
I got the chum. Eat the chum or whatever.
Eat the chum?
I went the worms. Duquesne spun it like twice to get the chum, but he didn't get it. He got, one of them was a free t-shirt, and the other one was, I think, a picture with them that they put on their Facebook. I believe.
I think one of the options was you had to dance like a pirate or something like that.
Yeah, that was one of them. I forgot what the spinning option was specifically, what it said, but that was one of them. And let's see, what else was there that I hit up? I think that was pretty much it. Those are the things I kind of went by. I did go by the Titanfall booth and say hi to some people that I met at PAX East that were there. So that was pretty cool. And other than that, all the rest of what I did was I did the red versus blue panel, which was the last panel on Friday before we had to evacuate because someone pulled the fire alarm.
That was annoying.
That was good.
So what happened with you, Goose? What went down between you and your group? Because it was about, I want to say, 6:30 when the alarm got pulled.
Well, we saw the lights flashing and we're like, well, maybe this is just them getting all the attendees out. So we really didn't pay it any mind. And then the guardians start coming through and say, everybody needs to evacuate. Everybody needs to evacuate. And I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, time out. I have Xboxes from 343, you know, $200 controllers from Controller Shop, Xboxes that aren't mine, games, a brand new games case that Games donated. Like, I have, like, thousands of dollars of equipment here, and you just want me to leave it? I can't even lock it up? They're like, no, you have to get out. And so there was minor heart palpitations, because we were herded out, the same as everybody else. And after waiting for about an hour, I wandered out of Griff House to, I found the horde of guardians and asked them, is there a way that I'm going to get back in so that I can lock my stuff up? And they said no, that unless you left something like your keys or your medication in there, you would not be allowed in. So we just left like everybody else, and we didn't go back to the booth until the next morning.
Yeah, a lot of people were aggravated. Gus and Ray were actually in my hotel lobby, and they didn't know what was going on either. They thought it was some type of joke. And the live stream was left on right after RVB panel. They actually didn't shut it off all the way. It was still run. So that night, everybody on the stream was just chatting, you know, what's going on? Is everything okay? There's a lot of rumors going around what was going on. There was one rumor saying that there was a bomb in the building.
I'd heard that there had been a bomb threat, and that's why it took so long for everything. And I mean, there were, you know, uniformed police outside the convention center that wouldn't even let you cross the street to the convention center. Like, they wanted to maintain a 2-block radius. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, Griff House is less than a block from the convention center, so there's not much I can do about it. But I mean, I think it's all just speculation at this point. I mean, whatever it is, it thankfully waited until the relative end of that day.
Yeah.
Except all the events that were scheduled for after hours for RTX had to be canceled.
Yeah, they
did reschedule it for Saturday. They did a good job of being able to get that back in. And apparently they did honor Friday passes that were going to be there for those events. So if you did have an event that you were going to, but you couldn't because it was rescheduled to Saturday, they did honor the Friday passes to those events.
Yeah, they're real good about that. They're really good about taking care of their guests, you know, their exhibitors, their attendees, I guess that's the word I'm looking for. They really do take care of them, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say, I guess to make this point, since I don't think it's been precisely said yet, Rooster Teeth is awesome, and their guardians are just as awesome.
Oh yeah, much love for the guardians.
For being able to put up with all the nerds and the swarms of people that go through there. They're very friendly. They don't like harass you or get all uptight about stuff unless you're being a douche, in which case they kind of have the right to in the first place. But it's really cool. I think the RTX Guardians are a ton better than the PAX Enforcers, personally.
The one thing I will say, this, I don't know how cons usually go because this is my first one, but everything seemed to go very smoothly. There wasn't a lot of backlash against attendees, you know, trying to get in and, you know, just doing all a bunch of random stuff. I think it went pretty well. I didn't really see too much of, like, mayhem at all.
Well, you should have come by the Griffball booth. Because when they were having signings, that was by the registration desk, and when they were queued up, people started to back up into the main hall. And so literally we had people pressing up against the front of our booth because they were all trying to queue for signatures. I mean, people, you know, that I was talking to had waited in line for 3 hours just to be told that they were cutting the line off and they wouldn't get the signature that they were looking for. I also heard from a couple parents who came by the booth that they had waited in line for 2 hours with their, you know, their 5-year-old or 6-year-old son for one of the panels. I'm not quite sure which one. Maybe it was Ruby. I'm not sure. But that the line had gotten capped even though they had waited. And so there seemed to be a lot of problems with line management. Not nearly as much as last year, because that was really bad. And the year before that was even worse. So it is getting better. But I think the problem with it is that there were about 12 to 15,000 unique individuals at RTX. And pretty much every single one of them wants Bernie's signature, wants Gus's signature. And so you literally have thousands of people trying to queue up into spaces that can only hold a couple hundred. And so I heard quite a few stories of people, my own Griffballers even, who Murr and Allie, who are working the booth, they went out to get into a panel. They got there about an hour and a half early, and they were cut off. And they didn't know that they were cut off until they'd already spent the hour and a half in there. So that is one thing that I do like about the PAX enforcers is that they will let you know, hey, we're at capacity. So that way you're not wasting your time in the line. But
right.
It's tough. There's only so much Rooster Teeth to go around. There's only so much they can do.
And this is only Rooster Teeth's fourth convention, where PAX has been around for, 14 years or so? Something like that.
Time.
Very long. No, actually 11 or 12 years. So they have a little bit more experience when it comes to that. And I think it's just going to be a learning experience. The Guardians will figure out some of these things. They'll slowly add it into the training and that kind of stuff. So it'll slowly get better over time.
Oh, absolutely. And I might have been eavesdropping a little bit on the bus to the airport, because there was two Guardians who were talking, and one was apparently some kind of head Guardian, and she was talking about how the Guardians were much better this year, that nobody's Guardian privileges had to be revoked, whereas last year, four of them had to be revoked, and that this year, I think only one or two attendees had to be removed from the convention, whereas last year, there was like 25 to 30 people that had to be removed. So it definitely Whoa. Is getting better, but there are definitely some hiccups that are still there that it's really tough to predict, especially when they continue to grow every single time.
And that's something that I think every convention is going to have some little hiccup, but that's where them just kind of knowing what to do comes into play.
Yep.
But it is nice to know that they're getting better at what they're doing and that the attendees are just there to have a good time.
Yeah, and they do a really good job of appreciating their community, because they are. They're kind of grassroots type of people.
Right. So let's talk about the panel, the 343 panel, since that was kind of a big reveal for a lot of different things that was going on.
Gun Geese.
Yes, Gun Geese is one of them.
The Silence SMG.
SMG, yeah. Which is pretty cool. Race game type, Ricochet game type for Halo 2 anniversary maps.
I want to know what that and more part is.
Stuff I'm sure we'll find out really soon. There is San Diego Comic-Con coming up, then there's Gamescom coming up as well, not to mention PAX Prime, which I believe Goose and myself will be there. Not sure about Biowolf. I don't think you're going to be there, right?
No, I'm going next year. I'll be there next year. I'll be it.
Okay. So let's talk about the 343 panel. And Justin, since you're kind of being quiet for a little bit, why don't you kind of give us your impressions of everything that they discussed? What was kind of some of the things that stood out to you the most?
Well, the thing that stuck out the most to me was how smooth the gameplay looked that they showed us. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, I know that games on the Xbox One are supposed to run at like 60 frames per second, right?
Yeah, 1080p, 60 frames a second.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't know why it really jumped out at me when they showed Ascension and some of the stuff they added and were just, you know, in general showing the game off, like how smooth everything looked. I haven't experienced that level of smoothness at all on any games I've played on my Xbox One or PS4. Maybe it's my TV. I really have no idea. I don't think it would be, but it quite honestly, and I know that I am on a Halo podcast and I do a Halo podcast. So this, you know, but I truly don't think this is any bias of mine coming through. Like it was the first true next gen gameplay that like I think I've seen so far. Cause you know, games in general on next/current, whatever you want to think of it, gen, graphics are okay, but nothing's really like stood out and like grabbed me and you know made me think like, all right, now I feel like this is the platform of the future or whatever. But watching the Halo 2 anniversary stuff, that was the first time I've really felt that and was like truly impressed with the level of graphical detail.
It definitely looked really pretty, and they mentioned during the panel that the Halo ring that's on the map is actually to scale and designed all the way out in the game. So it's an actual ring that's rotating underneath you as you're playing on Ascension.
Yeah. Did the 60 frames per second or whatever, did that stick out to anybody else or is it just me?
Oh, yeah. When the panel was over, me and Duquesne were talking about it, and we were just talking about how it really did. It looked really smooth, and it did bring a next-gen feel. to the Xbox, I think, like what's going to be coming to the Xbox. And another thing that really grabbed my attention was what Dustin was just talking about, that Halo ring, the scale, that just blew my mind. Like every time you sit there and look at it, you can sit there and like just the mountains and everything with it. It was really cool.
Yeah. And, I know I asked you, Dusty, and forgive me because I don't remember what you said, but I wasn't really too clear what they were saying about the controller schemes or whatever. Like, I understand that there are going to be like presets for each individual game, and you can adopt one of those presets and apply it over all the games. But I didn't quite know if they were saying that they are introducing customized layouts, or if that's just what I wanted to hear, and so kind of messed around with my brain to make it, you know, seem like that's what they said. What did they say about that?
So they didn't say that there are going to be any customized controller options, but you will be able to go in and select the old control schemes per game as they were defined. And they're also working on universal control sets. So you can go in, select this universal control scheme, and it'll apply it down to each game you play as closely to that control set as it can for that experience. So there are certain things in Halo 2, there are certain things in Halo 3, certain things in Halo 4 for the controller configuration. And they're just going to have universal sets that maps the controls more similarly across the board. So using right bumper to get into and out of vehicles or open switches, that's probably going to be remapped to X because Halo 2 and Halo 4 use X to get in and out of vehicles. So there's going to be those kind of control schemes that they're going to introduce for you to push down to every controller scheme for every game across the board.
Okay.
That's the universal control scheme that they're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I like I said, I wasn't really too clear on exactly what it was they said, but yeah, no, I like it. I was definitely far more excited about, not that I wasn't already excited about the Master Chief Collection, but like it totally, amped up my anticipation even more, seeing what they showed personally.
It was a lot of stuff that got shown, and they revealed another map that's being played. Coagulation remade for Halo 2 Anniversary. What do you guys think of that one?
My mind was blown when I seen that. It really was.
Keeps the trend up.
Yeah. Right?
Every other game has a remake of Blood Gulch / Coagulation.
Goose, do you think there would be a Forge Griffball map if the Ricochet game type supports it for Halo 2 Anniversary?
That's kind of where my head is at. You know, when they announce that there's Forge, you know, the wheels start turning and, you know, realizing that the hammer is canon in Halo 2 because Tartarus is the OG, the original Griffballer with the gravity hammer.
So it's, very true.
I mean, if the tools are there, I can guarantee you we will build it. So
instead of 4-hour CTF matches on Coagulation, we'll have 4-hour or 2-hour Griffball matches on Coagulation.
I'd be okay with that. I would really be okay with that. But yeah, seeing Coag, I mean, just so many memories, and it just brought me back to, there was a game type that we were playing in Halo 2, and it was called Duck Duck Goose, and I was actually, amazingly enough, pretty good at shooting Halo in Halo 2, because Griffball hadn't been invented yet, and my weapon of choice was a sniper rifle, so what my friends in college and I would do is we would get like a 16-person LAN going, and I would go invisible with the sniper on Coag, and then they had to find me. And I was thinking that would be so much fun to do again, but now I'm terrible at shooting Halo, which is really depressing.
You could probably pick it back up.
Oh, I don't know.
If you have the time to.
Well, what I was thinking is I want to go through Halo 2, campaign on Legendary again. Then I want to go through it on Lasso. And then I want to do, in the kind of the same vein that they're doing with the Master Chief Collection, I want a Griffball playlist so that I can go through whatever campaign levels there are in Halo 2 that either have a sword or a skull that I can carry with me the whole time or a hammer and complete the levels with just those options open to me and call it Griff Lasso or something that's less lame than that.
That sounds pretty interesting.
Something that they said they're bringing skulls back, aren't they?
They're introducing new skulls. Yeah, all the original skulls for Halo 2 will be there, and they're adding new skulls, including the pre-order bonus skulls.
I can't wait. I can't wait to find them. That was something that I'd look forward to in each Halo game. You know, in Halo 3, and that was something that was one of the first things I did was look through and try to find all the skulls before like all the YouTube videos popped up to see where you can find them, because I actually wanted to do it legitimately. And the fact that they're bringing them back, it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I want to see what, all the new skulls, and I want to... Halo 2 is my favorite Halo of all time. Like, there's just no... I can't help it. I love Halo 2. It, to me, has the best story. If I could have Halo 2's story with Halo 3's multiplayer, I could just die happy. But, think about it, Halo 2 plus Halo 3 equals Halo 5. Boom!
Oh, uh-oh, she's cracked the code.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting that with the Master Chief Collection, where you have Halo 2 Anniversary, and then you have Halo 3 Multiplayer. So, yeah. There you go. There's your mix.
I want it all, and I want it now.
I know. We still have to wait another 4 months before it comes out.
Well, you know, between now and then, there's PAX, which is, you know, exciting. Hopefully there will be a new build for us to play with and actually get to see. And, yeah, that's about all I got.
Yep, PAX Prime is going to be the next big thing for me. And they're going to show some stuff at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm pretty sure they're going to talk about the Nightfall stuff that's going to be coming with the Master Chief Collection.
Want.
Yeah, that, I mean,
yes.
That's something I'm really looking forward to, too. You know, they did a really good job with Forward Unto Dawn. I can imagine what they're going to do with this.
I really liked Forward Unto Dawn. I have one issue about it that just irks me, and I can't help it. It's in my DNA, and therefore I can't love Forward Unto Dawn, but I really, really liked it. So, yes, I am also excited to see what they're going to do with Nightfall.
Very nice.
Wasn't that a level?
Yeah, it was a campaign
in Halo Reach, right?
In Halo,
yeah.
Reach.
I say Nightfall, and I think Hunter, so I'm thinking there's some kind of connection there.
There is. Yep, there is the Reach level Nightfall, which is the one you can basically finish in 3.5 minutes if you're doing the speedrun version.
Well, some people...
The one that you would complete to get any campaign challenge that was out for experience.
I feel bad now that I've done all those challenges. That was the my dead one. So
it's like, if there's a campaign challenge and you wanted to finish it, you load up Nightfall.
Yep.
And you just speed run it.
That was the go-to.
I tried speed running it, and I could never get myself through that gate. I tried and I tried, but that damn forklift just just F the forklift, okay? That's all I've got to say about that.
Remember Forky.
Forky.
Sometimes it glitched several times. It actually went through to where it add all the enemies and stuff through there. When you hit that checkpoint, it actually went through and spawned all the enemies and stuff. So it actually did just give a little bit of a glitch every once in a while, which was...
You have to sprint through it. You can't just walk through it, or else it will load the enemies, I think.
Oh, is that what it was? It was probably my first time that I went through. I remember seeing the enemies. I was like, how are all these people doing this, like, perfectly? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah, I think you have to sprint, because you hit a checkpoint, and then you hit a load point, which is a little bit further on.
Right.
So, yeah. The Gun Goose, which we kind of mentioned already, it's pretty awesome. I think a lot of people on Twitter, from what I saw, were really excited for the Gun Goose.
People were flipping out, not only on Twitter, but just in the panel hall itself. Like, everybody was just going nuts. And Duquesne was going nuts. You know, him with his race that he does with all of his forging stuff, he was just absolutely happy.
I want to slap Gun Geese.
You will have it in 4 months.
Fly, my pretties, fly!
Yep. And you basically have two SMGs mounted on the steering column of the Mongoose.
That makes me so happy.
Is it an SMG or a saw? Because I've heard both.
SMG.
Okay.
Oh, man. Dual-wielding saws? I would never get off the Mongoose.
Oh, boy.
That would be insane.
Put a hammer on there, and that's all my favorite things in one.
I don't know if having a hammer on there would be very beneficial, because you'd be basically flinging the Mongoose every time you swung the hammer.
Hey, it's a legitimate strategy.
It just boosted a little bit.
Yeah, a little love tap, a little nudge. Get you over a rock.
It's like taking the concussion rifle from all the people or the brute shot from Halo 3 and basically doing mongoose launches across the map.
Yes. Oh, boy. Yes, that were on it.
That'd be freaking hilarious and funny and awesome.
After the panel, they were having a poster signing with Bravo and the guys from Certain Affinity and all them. And one of the guys I was talking to, I was like, you know something that'd be really cool to see? Have one person in the front with an SMG and then have a field rock cannon in the back. And he just fell in love with the idea, and he started laughing. He goes, that would be a sight to see. And I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be the first thing I do, see how that goes.
Well, yeah. Something that I really liked about the panel was it was really interesting to hear the story of Halo 2 and how so much of it was just accidental. It was just so much of it was serendipitous, and how much harder it is to recreate that lightning in a bottle, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, when Hoberman, was that his name?
Max Hoberman.
Hoberman, there we go.
Certain Affinity. He was the lead multiplayer designer for Halo 2.
And, I mean, just hearing him talk about it and his passion for it and how he just kind of did it, I think that's really reflective of the Halo community in general. Is there's something you like, you just go do it. And it tends to turn out pretty good in the end. And it was seeing the original maps, that maybe was one of my favorite things about that panel, was seeing, you know, the original sketch for Midship, the original sketch for Ascension. That was, I don't know, I guess I'm old. It was like a really awesome history lesson.
No, it was cool to see those initial prints that they had designs for the maps. And what I found interesting was Max mentioned something that they were originally thinking about doing a 32-player style experience for Halo 2, but that ended up getting cut.
Yeah, War Games, I think is what he called it.
Yeah.
Or Warfare, something like that.
Warfare, yeah.
And that the arena shooter aspect of Halo was a complete and total accident.
So lots of cool stuff. And that panel they actually just posted a couple days ago on their YouTube channel. So if you go over to youtube.com/HaloWaypoint, you can actually find the full panel up there, including the little diagrams that they showed and some of the other cool little things that they announced. Like there's some new switches on Ascension, and you can actually activate a shield in the middle dish.
Yeah, like a bubble shield.
Yeah, that was really cool. Another thing that they added that I liked was the down the hallway, or the whatever it was, they actually added stuff that way you wouldn't get just sniped out of that spot all the time, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, they made some of the pieces over the bridge a little bit bigger so you couldn't get shot down from Big Tower that easily. And that kind of harkens back to Tower of Power. And I actually asked Certain Affinity if Tower of Power had been play tested yet, and they said they really couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
So Tower of Power, one of those classic Halo 2 customs. I'm looking forward to playing that one again in Halo 2 Anniversary.
I'm not familiar. Can you elaborate on what exactly that is?
So Tower of Power is usually breaks down into a multi-team game, and you put one big turret up on the big tower, and then you basically have to storm the tower to try to control it. And whoever's on the turret basically has full view over all the map and can shoot down anybody, except if you're back behind near the Leap of Faith spawn or if you're running down the bridge, because it can't turn that far. So it's basically just this mad dash to control the tower, and whoever controls the tower usually wins.
That sounds pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, that's something that I'm really looking forward to, too, for the remaster of the Halo 2 Anniversary, is that I didn't really get the full experience of Halo 2. I did more, like, split-screen stuff than anything else. That was just something that me and my friends did all the time. And this, when I started playing the Halo 2 maps and familiarizing with all the stuff in multiplayer, the servers got shut down, like, that next year. Like, I didn't get to actually play as much as I actually wanted to. So bringing this back is definitely something I'm really going to enjoy. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to learn, too.
I'm the same way, yeah.
We're going to talk about a little bit more of the panel stuff in detail on our next show, but I wanted to cover one last thing before we wrapped it up for the night, and that was the Halo party that we had on Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a blast.
That was so cool.
We got to see people play Halo 2, old-style Halo 2, back on, well, they actually didn't have the old consoles there. They had them on 360s and games cases, but the Play Pro, they actually had original Xboxes and CRT TVs for the Play Pro. But at the private party on Saturday night, they had the biggest ever first annual one-time-only Retro Rumble Halo 2 Dual Wheel Drink Fest 2014 Championship Extravaganza.
Such a mouthful.
I know. So basically what it boiled down to was Rooster Teeth people and some other internet celebrity people like Adam Kovic from IGN, or sorry, Inside Gaming, basically pulled together some teams based off of people that were there and some other pros that were there, and they played in this kind of impromptu tournament, Halo 2 tournament, for about 3 hours. I think maybe either 8 or 16 teams were formed, and it ended up being that the last team was Team Brandon from Rooster Teeth and then Team Adam from Inside Gaming, and I caught the last game of the series, and I have to say, I haven't been that excited to watch competitive Halo in a long time, even from Halo 4 stuff, from when it was on the MLG circuit and when it was being played under AGL. That was so much fun to watch.
It really was.
Friends were being there. I mean, because I was thinking back to the Halo Global Championship and how electric that was. You know, being there in person and being surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people who genuinely loved the same thing that I loved. And the thing is, like, when MLG was streamed, I didn't care about it. And even today, when other people stream it, I just don't get into it. I don't care. But there's something about being there and being in person. And I think that's common for a lot of sports where, you know, watching it, you know, remotely isn't nearly as engaging and as fun as being there and in that atmosphere.
Right. And that's kind of harkening back to the days of Halo where you would go over to your friend's house, or if you're in college, you would go over to the dorm that had the Halo set up and you would play for hours on end into the night in the LAN party setup. And that's really kind of what I felt with this setup here during the party, with everyone just playing and everyone watching and just having a good time. And that wasn't the only thing that was going on. There were drinks. There was other levels that people were just kind of talking, chatting. I got to meet a few people there. There were some people playing Cards Against Humanity. It was all out just a good time to hang out with other Halo fans and to talk to one another. But the Halo 2 thing specifically, other than the Global Championship final that was at PAX Prime last year, mm-hmm. This was the next closest thing that I've really felt a good, deep connection to Halo competitive play in a long time.
And I've got to say, I was hardcore cheering for Ghost Ayame, not going to lie. He's a growth baller. I'm obviously biased. I'm okay with that. But he made this ridiculous play where they were on Beaver Creek. He was in the base looking through the skylight. He chucked a grenade just through the window, ran downstairs, came out, I think it's that SMG? I think that's where that is, the SMG one.
Or plasma rifle, yeah.
Okay. And right as he got there, the rockets just descended from the heavens because the grenade he had chucked had blown up on that bridge, on rocket bridge, and had forced the rockets to fall down into the base, into his hands. I almost lost my mind. That was... Yeah. And hearing him I'm sorry, go ahead, Dusty. I'm so excited.
No, you're having a right to be excited. They pull out some really old school Halo 2 tricks, and that was one of them. There was a bunch of BXRs everywhere strewn across their gameplay. It was just nostalgia all over again.
Yeah, it was really, really exciting to see that happen.
Yeah.
And, like, going back to the whole this is my first convention thing, you know, that kind of set it off, too, because I never really experienced anything like that before, you know, with the Halo 4 Global Championships. That was probably the only thing that I seen, but that wasn't in person. That was like online watching it all at. As much fun that as it was on there, there's nothing that's gonna like touch that. Just going to see all these pros just doing all these, like you said, all these tricks and all these different things, and seeing that in person is something that a lot of people probably won't get to see. So it was definitely exciting.
Yeah. So that pretty much wraps up our PAX experience. That wraps up our RTX experience. It was a lot of fun. I cannot wait again for next year. Do you guys have any last words before we wrap this up?
Hi, Mom.
We made it, Mom.
We made it through RTX.
We did it.
We did it.
To go there for a while, but
yeah.
Thanks for inviting me. That'll be my, I guess, my final thing. Thank you very much for inviting me on your panel and letting me tag along. I had one of the best times I've had in a long time. So thank you.
So does that mean he's the new Goose? Because I noticed I wasn't invited back to your panel, Dusty.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So he has a lot more experience in the technical expertise, which is why I invited him on.
It's okay. He can be new Goose. I'm okay with that.
You are definitely going to be invited back. There is a specific subject.
No. You can be Merlin. Can we agree, Merlin?
I could be Cougar.
Okay, agreed.
I freak out at the beginning.
There you go. That's
I did land, though.
I will say, Goose, there is a topic that I have in mind that you will be back on the panel rotation for.
Are you talking RTX or are you talking PAX?
RTX.
Okay.
And PAX, if it ever gets approved for PAX, because I will be submitting. I didn't submit it this year, but in future years when PodTagger gets a little bit bigger and I actually might have some kind of media credibility, I will be submitting that again.
Because, the PAX panel's closed tomorrow, so.
Well, hey, last minute, right?
I know.
Sneak it. I submitted mine too today, so.
Got it.
Totally on time, plenty of time. At least a good solid 12 hours ahead of time, so.
Yeah. Well, I want to give a huge shout out and thanks to Goose Checker from Griffaw Hub, Justin Bryce from Drunken Halo, and BioWolf for coming on the show and having spent a wonderful RTX weekend with in Austin, Texas. If you guys have a chance to go, please do. We're going to be talking about more detail behind the Master Chief Collection and everything that they talked about during the 343 panel on our next show, so please be sure to check that out. And we will have photos and videos out very shortly, probably within the next day or so of you hearing this after it's been released, to recap what we got to experience at RTX. So if you weren't there, you want to experience a little bit more in depth of what we saw and what we did, then you'll be able to view some of those photos and videos. Thank you guys again, Goose, Biowolf, and Justin for coming on. Thank you everyone in the live stream for listening, and we will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging RTX.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.